You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
And welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very, very special top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
That's right, Wes. We are putting bookends on our favorite series. We're adding a prequel and a sequel to pre-existing either movies or video games or TV shows.
Or conditions.
Or conditions.
All right, so we got a lot of podcasts coming at you, so let's get to it.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Well, back to that'll your do it.
Regularly scheduled podcast. We didn't miss a week. We didn't miss a month. We certainly didn't miss months on end.
Man, what a long feeling week, huh?
Yeah. Oh my God. So, geez, Steve. So, what's been going on this last week?
It's almost like my daughter went from being like a newborn to being 9 months old.
Well, they say time flies when you're a new dad.
It's amazing how that works, man.
Wow.
So not much, you know, regular. Yeah. Worked a couple days.
Sure.
No big deal.
Sure.
I think a very appropriate place to pick back up is a movie that I just watched.
Which is?
The sequel to the worst film of all time.
Oh my God, so many options.
The Room 2. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
That doesn't exist. But have you seen the trailer for The Disaster Artist?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, you actually may be interested in this.
I doubt it.
I think you might, actually.
Okay.
So, for those who don't, you know what The Room is, I assume.
Is this the sequel to The Artist, the award-winning film a few years ago?
No. Oh, yeah.
It is The Disaster Artist.
That's it.
Okay.
No, so The Disaster Artist, so in the movie The Room, which is, could be acclaimed as the worst film of all time, at least it's going to be in the discussion of that.
Sure.
Of that dubious title. Mm-hmm. The guy who played Mark, his name is Greg Sestero's. And
I'm so mad that you know that, but yet you don't know any of the characters on Game of Thrones.
Because this became like a cult classic of being terrible, he wrote a tell-all expose book about the making of The Room, and it was called The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
So, guess who optioned it for a film?
What's his name? Tommy Wiseau?
Not Tommy Wiseau, because he's in The Room.
Tom Hanks.
That's the Tom.
That's the Tom.
Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks.
Wow.
No, James Franco and company.
What?
They picked up the script for The Disaster Artist, so now they're making a movie about the making of The Room, and James Franco is Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, no. I was so hoping Seth Rogen was going to be Tommy Wiseau.
Seth Rogen is the director of the movie.
I see. Okay.
And they just released the trailer maybe like 3 weeks ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I'm not a big trailer guy, but this, I'm like, I don't know what to expect from this movie. And the trailer, I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I want this movie to be.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not a huge James Franco guy. I don't dislike James Franco, but I'm not like,
sure,
Franco, I'm on board. Pencil me in, baby.
You're not going to invite him over for a barbecue.
So The Disaster Artist comes out, I think it's later this year, and I am jacked to watch The Disaster Artist. Disaster Artist.
I just don't care.
I know.
I didn't like The Room.
This
seems like a meta commentary on The Room, which is precisely what it is.
It seems that way because that's what it is.
Oh, see, you seemed like a father to me these last 9 months. Is it because that you are?
No, that's different. Okay. That's just because you trust me so much.
And you burp me and put me down for naps.
And I chew things and spit them back into your mouth for you.
Ah, you're a papa bird.
Papa bird.
Mm-hmm.
The movie I've watched is Alien Covenant.
No.
Yes.
Is it good?
It'd be so much more entertaining if I was like, more Prometheus! Like, oh, God! If this movie had come out instead of Prometheus, I would not be in a tizzy. It would not have recalibrated how much I could hate things.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been like, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
Because it's not terrible. However, maybe I would think less of it because Prometheus reset the bar so low.
Sure.
But it's I realize, though, that watching this movie, I don't think that there is any hope for alien films going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought that for a while, ever since Alien Resurrection. I'm like, this is done.
I think I've just been so optimistic and hopeful that they can, you know, reinvent it just a little bit and put, like, change it enough, but remain the same enough, mm-hmm. you know, like, to take both sides of that and create something kind of new and different.
Mm-hmm.
And it just can't, man. This movie is so, so formulaic for two-thirds of it.
Yeah.
This is not a spoiler. It's, if you've ever seen any of the Alien movies, the first third of this movie is exactly what you fucking think it's going to be. We're in a spaceship. There's a small crew. Here's a robot. I bet he's evil. But you don't know, yes or no. It's like, well, some sort of weird distress signal. Should we go down there? Absolutely not. Here we go. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is awful.
Well, guys, I'm going to go off by myself over here. Okay, bye, Mark.
Bye, Mark. Enjoy your time on this mysterious planet where nothing can go bad.
Exactly. See ya. Hey, guys, where's Mark? I don't know. He went off by himself. All right, I'm going to look for him. Bye, Susie.
Oh, God, his chest has exploded.
Oh, no.
So we're all caught up.
Yes, exactly.
So you've seen an alien movie.
I have.
So that part is exactly the same. Spoiler alert. The next third of the movie is interesting and different.
Okay.
And I like that part. And that part is kind of the thing where I'm like, oh, you took enough from one thing, but you're kind of adding some new thing. Like, okay, this is different. And then like, hey, by the way, remember how we end these things? Sure do.
See, in a perfect world, my sequel to my next Alien movie would be the aliens come down into a zoo. Because in Alien 3, it was the alien burst out of a dog.
Right.
And it became very dog-like. What if it came down the middle of a zoo and then you have, like, rhino aliens?
Sure.
And stag aliens.
Yeah, you find different morphs? No. They're xenomorphs, but you find different mutations of xenomorphs in an interesting way. Sure.
Sure.
And, like, the idea for Aliens vs. Predator is so good.
Uh-huh.
Like, both of them, actually. Like, the first one, like, fine, if you're just going to create, like, a hunting ground in Antarctica, like, fine. Just make it awesome. Like, and you didn't. And then the next one, they drop an alien in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes! Oh, my God, everyone is going to die. This is going to be crazy. And it's like, oh, my God, you only let them kill, like, four people.
Wait, is this Requiem?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's, there's ripe with, again, like, there's, you could take pieces of each of these, and, like, there's something there, but they just mess them up all the time.
Oh, that sucks.
So Alien Covenant is an alien movie mm-hmm. with a little dash of something in the middle where you're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, honestly, the last, whatever, half hour of it is, it's like, cool. I'm just done. I'm going to punch I'm punching out. You know what? Just dock me half hour pay. I'm just going to go home early. That's fine.
Sure, sure, sure.
I give it
Wait. This is the first 0 out of 100 movie rating that we've had since we've been back.
Correct.
So, Steve, take your time.
I give it
an 8.
No, that's Prometheus.
That's right.
So I'll tell you this. It's definitely better than Prometheus.
Okay.
No, I give it like a 59-60.
59-60?
Yeah. Okay. Right in there.
Sure. Yeah. Kind of pass-fail.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of pass-fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Steve, I think people know...
62. There.
There. Thank you. Good. D-. I think people know that we've actually been gone longer than a week.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks.
So it's been 2 weeks and a half?
And a half.
So what have you been doing? Tell us any big life events that have happened.
Well, I watched Alien Covenant.
Okay. Have we talked about that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's better than Prometheus. I don't want to, you know, drone on about being a father. But that is...
Oh, as I said, you seemed like a father, and now I know why.
Yeah, it's a. It takes up a lot of time.
Sure.
It takes up a lot of time.
Sure.
I got a promotion at work.
That's awesome.
I'm now a dad. Okay. But like, and like, I have a child that actually like laughs and says my name. Well, says dad. Doesn't say Steve, which I'm really thankful for.
Already disrespecting you.
Although I want to tell you this. So her newest thing that she just learned how to do is she knows how to clap now.
Okay.
It's just, she's only been doing it for like a week and a half. And normally, like, she puts this big smile on her face and she claps. She's like, good job. Way to go. You know, positive reinforcement.
Sure.
And in my stupid dad brain, if you've ever changed a baby, you know, they have the onesie thing where it like clips, you know, like the, it snaps, you know, like under their crotch.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I always forget to do it. Like, I put the diaper on, like, you know, that whole process is so ingrained now. Like, cool, you take the old one, you wipe, you do this, and up, and let, and pants up, da! And I'm always like, fuck! I forgot to put the thing down. And then, so today.
She started clapping, and you took it as a mocking you.
It's exactly what she did.
Well, yes, I knew it!
She, I wish this was a visual thing that you could see. But she gives me this, like, little dry smirk and the most sarcastic clap. She's like, after I, like, button the onesie, she's like, oh, yay. Good job, Dada. You remembered how to dress me properly, you ass.
She's also calling you an ass.
It was... I had to say good job because she was clapping for positive reinforcement, but I was like, you're kind of being a little smartass right now, aren't you?
Well, she is her daddy's daughter.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are the main things, man.
Cool. Well, the main thing that has happened to me in this, what, 2.5 weeks, I got a PlayStation VR.
Yes, you did.
And it's great.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I only have a few games for it so far. Super Hot VR is, I don't know. I about said it was worth the price of VR. That's a little steep. But it is one of the best games out there for VR right now.
And how much did your VR, your PSVR cost?
Oh, $500.
The 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Super Hot is good. I don't know if it's any cat lateral damage.
Oh, no. Cat lateral damage is the game of this age.
And for those who, for some reason, may not be familiar, Wes.
Are you living under a rock?
Apparently. I was going to say maybe you should inform them.
Oh, no, Steve. I mean, you come over here when I'm asleep and play it when I'm asleep. I know that. No, Cat Lateral Damage is a game I got for $2.
It's $2 too many.
PlayStation Store because it had VR and you play a cat and you knock things off shelves. It sounds lame, but it is actually very fun.
I don't know.
You were a cat and you enjoyed being a cat.
It's the things you said about it are true.
Mm-hmm.
It is the graphics, if you want to call them that, are very remedial.
Oh, remedial is giving it praise.
It's like jump on this big brown cube to knock this small red box to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
While you listen to this crazy cat music.
I hear that song in my dreams. Oh, God.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, God.
It's Super Hot is a significant advancement over cat lateral damage.
I mean, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
But you just bought your fancy for your first fancy VR game today.
Resident Evil 7. I just found this out yesterday. It doesn't use motion controllers, which I was a little disappointed for, but it's still the entire campaign of the game in VR, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, on some of the games that you have right now, I found one of the constricting things about it, I suppose, is that all of your movement in the game, as in like walking from point A to point B, is done usually by some sort of teleport mechanic. Mm-hmm. There is no, like, you don't hold the controller to move yourself and look around. It was always like you're stationary, and then you can move around within that spot, but you cannot move around the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested to play this first game for me where you are in control of your movement, but then you kind of lose you know, the ability of like, of moving your arms around and, you know, that sort of thing. So, I don't know, I'm interested in what that trade-off is.
Sure, sure. Oh, and I moved in with a lady friend, but whatever.
Whatever, not important.
Yeah, Jesus.
That isn't real reality.
No, definitely not.
Lame.
$500 for a PlayStation VR was pretty expensive. I got the bundle with the motion controllers and the PlayStation camera, but I got it right when I got back from New York City. I performed at the Del Close Marathon, which is awesome. And so I spent, you know, around like $700 in travel and Airbnbs and food and whatnot. I got back here, dropped $500, and then I opened my bank account the next day. Oh, holy shit, where did this all go?
And then you just slipped away into your virtual reality where you yes. played the money-making game.
That's right.
What we call the Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, exactly.
So I know it is new, and it's, you know, you're trying to carve out time to, you know, to get money out of your investment here. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a novelty? Do you think this is a thing? Is this gaming of the future? What do you think?
Steve, I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Bum, bum, bum!
This is the next step in gaming. I'm calling it now. The immersion, even for a game as stupid as Cat Lateral Damage, I played it for hours one day because it was just so much fun.
Okay. I'm interested to see how the AAA titles like an Arkham series, like a mm-hmm. Call of Duty series, like a God of War series, how they will be able to incorporate VR into their game but still maintain like their core mechanics. Because mm-hmm. I just saw this like very, very, very high-end VR system thing today that's not like available for regular consumers. That's like you are holding a gun, essentially, like this prop gun.
Oh, jeez.
And you're wearing like a vest and you're in this big area room. Like it's just a big square footage room. And then you walk around, like you're cordless on the VR. You walk around the room, like you aim the gun as you move it. Like it's like total immersion VR, which obviously you cannot do it in your own home.
Oh, sure. Not for us peons.
But what of that can they take into the home experience? You know, because the biggest thing to me right now is the movement within the game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's got the potential, and I feel like it's already lasted longer than, like, 3D TV, you know?
Oh, was that a thing?
What? Very briefly.
Oh, boy.
So it's really cool. And if you guys have not had a chance to play around in the VR world, it's really fun. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does change some of the ways you've played games your whole life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Cat Lateral Damage, worth the money.
It is the shining example of what VR can be.
We have reached the pinnacle.
So, I mean, really, there's no point to yeah. go anywhere else.
Skyrim VR? No, thank you, sir. This I have it. My cat shelf-knocking game.
So another thing that happened just this very week was the season finale of Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very difficult to talk about Game of Thrones and keep it spoiler-free.
Yes.
So we're not really going to go too far into the episode, but as we come back here after our 3-week hiatus,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we want to come back with a new thing. We want to make bold predictions.
I have already made one bold prediction.
There's already one bold prediction on the books that we will come back and reference and see just how bold it is.
Next week, VR out the door.
Mass killings by virtual reality. How? Click to find out. Sorry.
What?
I don't pay for it. It's behind a firewall. I can't find out the article. I'm sorry.
I think this is the first clickbait article on a podcast.
It's crazy, right?
Jeez.
So we wanted to make some bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. About season 8, the series finale, which will be, what, another year from now?
I heard a rumor that it might be as late as 2019.
God, I hate that.
I know, but here's hoping, 2018.
Yeah, okay. So, if you are very sensitive to spoilers, we're going to keep this pretty generally spoiler-free, mm-hmm, but if mm-hmm. if you want to know nothing about it, skip ahead about a minute or so.
Sure.
So,
in reality, more like 5.
So here's my bold prediction for just like major thing that's going to happen in season 8. I think Jon Snow is going to kill the Night King himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to take out almost the entire undead army.
I think that is a bold prediction.
Oh my god, it's so bold!
But I have another bold prediction. I think Cersei Lannister is going to be the last character to die in the whole series.
As in, everyone else is dead except for her?
Yep, she has won. Everyone in Westeros is dead. And then she dies of old age.
So she dies, and then peace.
Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
So how do you think Cersei dies?
That is a good...
Because I have a bold prediction as well. And I'm stealing this from a friend of mine because I forget who said this.
Okay.
I'm like, I kind of like that though.
Mm-hmm.
Bold prediction. Jaime Lannister kills Cersei.
Okay.
Because Jaime Lannister is the Kingslayer. Mm-hmm. And for all intents and purposes, she is the king, quote unquote. Like, mm-hmm. She's the queen, obviously, but she's the king of everything.
Yeah.
And she's going mad. Mm-hmm. And he killed the Mad King, and now he will kill the Mad Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good bold prediction. And I'm going to throw a bold prediction in from my wife.
My God, so many bold predictions.
But this is such a great series to make bold predictions, because none of them are right.
Well, of course.
But she thinks, and again, spoiler here, she thinks that Cersei has poisoned Tyrion in their interaction when he goes and drinks the wine.
I was wondering that.
She believes he, with that long-lasting poison that she used with the Dornish ladies, that's what she thinks Cersei has done to Tyrion.
Because Cersei didn't drink.
She did not drink. Not that we saw.
Not that we saw.
Correct.
And remember, she used to love to drink.
She likes her wine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm,
so I think Jon Snow takes out the Night King, and that takes out essentially the whole undead army. For the mm-hmm. most, because it was once you kill the guy that turned them, you know, or whatever, he kills that, like, that cabinet of the undead, and that takes care of pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Jaime kills Cersei, and Tyrion is killed by Cersei.
Ah, that would suck.
Yeah.
What do you think is happening to Ilaria Sand and her last surviving sand snake? Remember her?
Yes, I do.
Trapped in a dungeon?
Yep, the Dornish queen and yes. princess
mm-hmm.
that have that slow acting poison, and she's supposedly watching her daughter die in front
mm-hmm.
of her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of believe that she's dying in front of her mom. Like Cersei said.
You would have thought Daenerys or Jon would have maybe asked about the sand people. The sand people.
I don't think they, I don't know. I bet they assume they're just dead already.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and what do you think happens with Theon Greyjoy?
I think it's time for Theon to have a win. I think he sacrifices himself to let his sister free.
You think he dies
yeah.
releasing her?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think Theon Greyjoy has enough of a character arc to be the one that saves everybody?
No.
Yeah, me either.
No.
That's too bold.
Too bold.
Too bold!
No, dude, Theon, most of this season, he just didn't even show up for half the episodes. And when he did, he ran away.
I would love it if, like, towards the end, like, Jon is, like, facing the ice dragon. He's like, oh, no! And Theon's like, I'm gonna save Jon! But, like, Jon just, like, ducks. And instead, Theon, like, throws himself in the fire. It's like, oh, my God, did Theon Greyjoy just kill himself for no reason? I hate that Theon Greyjoy.
See, I thought that Jon and the Night King are going to be duking it out, and then suddenly Theon jumps into the fray and gets a lucky hit on the Night King, and all the dead people, all the undead die again, I guess. And then Theon's like, everyone's like, what the fuck just happened? Did Theon Greyjoy just save everybody?
Kill him! I want to make a bold prediction about the Lord of Light, but I feel like this is almost too bold. But I want to say
it's Jon Snow.
You think he is?
No,
the old the pirate guy that's Jon's right hand guy with a beard, the older guy,
Davos.
Davos. Part of me wants to be like, he is the Lord of Light.
You think?
No, but. in the slightest piece of the pie, I think there's a little sliver that he could be like the Lord of Light monitoring the whole situation.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's too bold.
It's too bold.
It's too bold of a prediction.
I feel like there's gotta be some with the Lord of Light, right?
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe. Because
otherwise, they spent a lot of time and a lot of, you know, reviving people.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously some kind of supernatural force happening.
Yeah, and I want that to be really cool.
Yeah?
I hope
it's not like a Deus Ex Machina where the Lord of Light comes out. It's Theon Greyjoy.
Theon Greyjoy, Lord of Light.
He sacrificed
his penis to become the Lord of Light. So there you go. Bold predictions.
Done. In the books.
That's right. We'll come back to that in 2 years.
Yep. So, Steve, before we move into this week's top five, obviously we were just coming off of a fairly long hiatus.
Yeah. It's 1 month and 2 days.
2 days. That's right.
Yep.
And, because scheduling became very difficult for us. And basically what we're saying is we're going to be coming at you every 2 weeks now.
Every other week. Set your clock to it. Every other week.
Every other week. Same time, same channel.
We realize that the things that we say are so profound that it's difficult in just 1 week's time to really let them,
simmer,
let you marinate, stew in our word juice.
Oh, so many people stewed, and some people died.
Several died. That's why we are actually, it was a court-ordered break from the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
People were stewing too much.
I had to go to the hospital, and it took them months to get out of the stew coma.
To get that word juice off. Okay, anyway.
Okay, anyway, so every 2 weeks is what we're saying. Every other Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That's right.
All right.
Without any further ado, Wes, allow me to introduce this week's top five.
Steve, what is this week's top five?
We're going to call this baby Bookends.
Oh, we're going to talk about our favorite bookends?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I love this.
It's like I got one that's like an owl on one side.
What?
And a nest with little baby owls on the other side.
Oh, my God. I have one that's the reverse polarity on each side, so if they ever come together, the world will end.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That is a good bookend.
Yeah.
So what we're saying bookends, what we mean is you can take any individual movie or any series of movies, and what you need to do is you need to add a fictional sequel at the end of it and a prequel at the beginning of it.
You know what I realized, Steve? I have been burned so many times by sequels and or prequels that this was a very difficult list for me to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you say you're burned, give me the first thing that comes to your mind of.
How about the Alien movies?
Don't you ever... You son of a bitch!
How about Die Hard? Lethal Weapon!
Let me tell you this real quick.
Star Wars!
Yes. I so badly, and even with what we just said earlier in this podcast, I almost put Alien on my list. Because so badly I want there to be another good Alien. But... no spoilers, it didn't make the list.
Oh, man. So I'll start this week, and I'm going to go with a wild card that I don't even think you know about. I don't think I've ever talked about. It's a movie called The Frighteners.
Oh, no, Michael J. Fox, directed by Peter Jackson.
Of Lord of the Rings fame.
Came out in, like, 1997-ish.
Yeah, back when God was a kid.
Yes, I know that movie. No, yeah. Actually, I mean, what? What movie?
What? So for those of you who don't know, The Frighteners is a story. It's like a crime drama, but the main character can see ghosts, and he uses these ghost pals of his to make a living, quote-unquote, ghost-busting houses. Anyway, so an ancient evil spirit gets resurrected, at least that's what the premise is, and then his ghost pals and him have to solve these crimes. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a movie that nobody thinks about, but it's such a hidden gem.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I want to see a sequel to that.
Okay.
And the plot line that I want is I want the same, you know, in a perfect world, we'll have Michael J. Fox again.
Yeah, and this comes out in like 1999.
Yeah, exactly. And this time, it's not just random people get resurrected as ghosts. Every single person who dies gets resurrected as a ghost.
Oh, my God.
And Michael J. Fox and his ghost pals have to. I don't know why I keep saying it like that. And his ghost pals.
It sounds Scooby-Doo-ish the way you put it.
I want them to figure out why this is happening. I don't know why this is happening. I just came up with this that one sentence premise.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to walk anywhere. It would be just floor to ceiling ghosts everywhere.
Everywhere.
The movie would just be a whitewash of the screen the whole time. And occasionally Michael J. Fox's face would poke through and be like, oh, I can't breathe in all these ghosts.
Maybe the afterlife is full and nobody is being allowed in anymore.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. There we go.
Who knows? I'm not the movie making mastermind.
So that would be your sequel to The Frighteners. What's the prequel?
This is going to be such a shift in tone, but I want the movie where he first realizes he can see ghosts and how that warps his mind.
Okay.
It's almost from these two movies to be comedy thrillers, but I want to see just a straight-up comedy about him meeting these ghosts and coming up with a ghost-busting scam, and then maybe there is a severe ghost that, like, almost a ghost law enforcer that tries to make him stop or whatever. But I just want to see the beginning of his whole journey.
Sure. Okay, The Frighteners. That's a good surprise pick, yeah.
Yeah.
Diamond in the Rough.
Diamond in the Rough. Just like me.
All right. I'm in between two. One, you will think I am absolutely fucking bananas. And I think
I've actually seen you fuck a banana.
And it was awesome. Yeah. So I'm going to go with this one here. I'm going to go with the Rambo franchise. And here is why.
Okay.
Here is why. If you've never seen First Blood, it is completely different tone than the rest of the Rambo franchise. Mm-hmm. First Blood is like, it's almost like a dark thriller. And it's more of a social commentary on how people reacted to veterans coming back from Vietnam more than it is him riding a camel at a tank with a rocket launcher. Like,
I remember that scene.
Yeah, that happens in Rambo 3.
Oh, wow.
It seriously happens.
Oh, I thought you were just making up
no.
a sentence.
No, that happens.
Okay, cool.
That tells you how, like, the first movie is awesome. Stallone is awesome. The drama in the movie is fantastic. It's great social commentary. It's fantastic. So for the prequel, I want to see John Rambo in Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
is what we're going to do. So it's going to be, because I haven't seen Dunkirk, which is my own fault. I haven't had time to go see it yet. But you know I love a good war movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know I do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when Vietnam movies were the shit. Like, mm-hmm. Born on the 4th of July, he comes out of Vietnam, but like Platoon is fantastic. Yeah, there are Full Metal Jacket. Part of that is Vietnam. So it is a ripe place to tell a good story about a kid kind of plucked from wherever and put in and becomes like this Green Beret killing machine, but has his conscience. And then, so as seeing him kind of rise as a soldier, but dealing with the moral complications of being in this war that is complicated already and the things that he had to do to become the best sort of deal. You know, like, I just love war movies like that in general. So to see that and that kind of, and then when that is over, he's kind of like the hero of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cut to First Blood, and now he's just a drifter back in the United States. I think it can kind of give you that kind of like rise and then the fall of John Rambo in a realistic kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes off the rails.
Oh,
then
of
Rambo 2, Rambo 3. I mean, it gets crazy. So in my mind, I kind of equate that to the Rocky franchise, mm-hmm. kind of, just a little bit. We're like, Rocky 1, Oscar winner. Like, great movie. Rocky 2 is fun. It's good. Like, 3 is good. 4 gets great. 5 is a total piece of shit. Rocky Balboa is okay. And then Creed came out.
Mm-hmm.
Creed is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Creed's a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that by making a Rambo movie that is at the end just like so long away from the previous Rambo movie, so that it's like, oh wow, wait, I wasn't expecting this, and this is a very different tone shift from previous Rambos as well. So I mean, I think he's got to be the old you know, the old dude, kind of similar to Creed. He's the old guy teaching the new guy the new tricks sort of deal, but like, he's got to die at the end. Rambo just has to die. That's mm-hmm. just, and to be honest, I've seen every Rambo except John Rambo, which is technically the last one in the series right now. So I don't think he dies at the end. So that could totally null and void this whole list anyway.
Yeah.
But I just, that's what I want to do. I want to start, I want to kind of bookend, obviously, with the serious side of Rambo as opposed to the camel versus tank or helicopter. One of the two.
Sure.
So there you go. That's what I want. I want Rambo.
All right. So my number four is a little Telltale game by the name of The Wolf Among Us.
You did video games as well.
I did, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. So this game was, I think, Telltale's second big game right after The Walking Dead Season 1. And I really enjoyed it. It stars Bigby Wolf, who is, of course, a big bad wolf. And it's a detective story trying to solve a series of murders. And I really love it. Loved it. And I want to see a sequel to this. And really, the Fables universe, which this is based on, you can pick and choose whichever storyline you want to do. I just want to see another one. But that's not our podcast. So I decided I'd just make up one. Maybe it was in the Fables universe. I don't know. But what if one day, so you know the premise of the Fables universe, right?
Right.
Okay. So what if one day all the supernatural elements of that Fables universe were taken away and the big bad wolf wakes up and he's just a human detective? What if Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad go to their place and there's just a frog and a toad? What if you go to all these anthropomorphic bears and monkeys or whatever, these crazy creatures, and they're just bears and monkeys or just weird-looking people? It's like, well, what do we do now? Do people want to go back to being these fairy tale creatures and not be able to enter real society? Or do we keep these new bodies and try to enter? And what would that look like? If you spent most of your life in this fairy tale supernatural element, and then you try to, like, be a CPA, how is that going to work?
Yeah, all I know is any movie where I got guys looking to be CPAs, that's what I'm looking for.
Exactly. I want to take all the excitement and thrills out of The Wolf Among Us and then do Job Simulator for Telltale's sequel.
And get them in some cat lateral damage.
Oh, yeah, baby. So, but yeah, I want to see that story, because that'd be, I think, very interesting.
Okay.
And for the prequel, so I think in the Fables comics, Snow White actually travels to where the big bad wolf is and hands him some kind of scepter or medallion or amulet or something that lets him be able to shapeshift from a grizzly human to the big bad wolf. I want to see that story of Snow White and Big Bad Wolf first meeting. Her having to convince him to come back to, I forget what the town is called, Fableville. Fable Town. That's what I'm going to call it.
Fableopolis.
Everybody is yelling at their screens right now. So take him back to the town, and I want to see that first story.
Okay. Man.
You know nothing about this.
I still got to say, I feel like even without knowing anything about this, I feel like your sequel is bad.
I think it'll be great, Steve. You just wait.
I wish I knew enough to tell you why I think it's bad. But I feel like you're like, hey, all the things that make them interesting, I'm going to take it away.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound as good.
You know how I do.
That doesn't sound quite as good. Okay.
What if we took Rambo and then took away all the action?
And what if we made him a struggling CPA?
Oh, yeah, like a person who really wants to crunch numbers all day but just can't quite get it.
But his mental math isn't quite as sharp as Gary in the next cube.
And then at the end, it's, he punches Gary to a pulp.
I mean, and then Gary gets in his tank, and Rambo gets on his camel, and they math at each other.
They math at each other.
To the death. Okay, well, I wish you the best of luck.
You just wait till my sequel to Wolf Among Us wins all the video game awards.
Can't wait. That'd be great. Good for you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to pitch the prequel of mine first.
Okay.
Then I will tell you the existing film. And then I will tell you my sequel to it. Okay.
I feel like this is going to be something the worst. What? what was that terrible movie that Cary Elwes did? The Wibble Wobbles? The Oogie Loves?
Oogie Loves, that's it. The Oogie Loves.
I want to see the bookend of that.
Okay, so I want you to think of a Departed style cop thriller, criminal thriller.
So The Departed.
Similar to The Departed. Okay. But so what we're gonna have is a longer film of we've got our main character who is a detective going after this scumbag drug lord, and he's trying to infiltrate, you know, very similar to The Departed so far. Yes, I get it.
And there's a rat.
And Jack Nicholson is the bad guy.
Wow, this sounds so new, so fresh.
So the idea then, our main character here, this is going to be a younger Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's a crime drama thriller sort of deal. Not crazy over the top action, but a couple good action sequences. And eventually he's going to get his perp and find out who he is. And he's going to stab other criminals in the back. He's going to do whatever he has to do to get this guy. Cause you find out, like, our main criminal has wronged Arnold Schwarzenegger in a very serious way.
Oh boy.
And then at the end, the perp is going to get away. But Arnold has burned some bridges along the way. Our second film, the one that exists, Arnold finds where the perp is at. He's been hunting him for years. And there's only one way that he could capture his perp now.
Wait, wait. So and are you doing a sequel and a prequel to a movie that you just are making up right now?
Nope. Because what I'm telling you right now is real. Arnold Schwarzenegger has been chasing this perp for years. He's let himself go entirely. His shaggy beard, shitty little sunglasses. He finally has him tracked down, and he can finally get revenge. And then the perp escapes one more time, only to realize the only way to catch this perp is to become a kindergarten teacher. The movie that exists is Kindergarten Cop. All of a sudden, the transformation of John Kimble into lowly kindergarten cop, blowing his whistle, instilling discipline in the youth of America, while still chasing down that perp, that scumbag drug dealing perp. Then he falls in love, and he finds someone that could be his son. He loves him so much, and now he is the one that is the key to this whole mystery. He is the perp's son. He falls in love with the perp's ex-wife. And then we all know what happens in Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, it's a tale as old as time.
Song as old as a rhyme. So,
Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop has a happy ending. Arnold and the lady are together, and the kid is... Now we go to the sequel. All the bridges that Arnold has burned in the first movie come back to haunt him.
Oh, no.
And it just becomes... the very beginning... You can safely assume that wife and that child are dead. They're done.
Oh, okay.
They get killed right away by, like, the old crime boss from the first movie that Arnold did him wrong. He's tracked him down to the suburban area and just torches the life that Arnold Schwarzenegger has. He is a broken man. The rest of the movie is Arnold Schwarzenegger, vintage Arnold murder spree. It is just him taking revenge on everything, and blowing up and killing everybody. The Kindergarten Cop trilogy.
Kind of sounds a lot like the Rambo trilogy, except for that middle movie.
It's just so ridiculous, it has to work.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, people will be lining up around the block.
I'll tell you, man, I'm in it. I'm in it already.
Are you cast in it?
I am in it. I am Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I knew it.
That's the big reveal after a couple of months here. I actually am the Governator. That's me.
Oh, boy. Well, my number three is The Matrix. Now,
boo!
Why? What's happening?
Go on.
Some people...
Boo!
Now I remember why we didn't do this for so long. I got sick of being yelled boo at. So some people
boo!
Think, oh my God. Some people say there are sequels to The Matrix. I say there are none. There can't be. There
except
just isn't.
That?
There just isn't. No. That nope. It's no. No sequels to The Matrix. All we have is that one perfect film called The Matrix. Now for the sequel, I want to see, instead of this movie that doesn't exist, where Agent Smith becomes this virus of sorts and we see Zion in a rave in the real world and yada yada yada, what if the machines in The Matrix say, fuck it, let's burn this mother down to smoke Neo out? Because they control a lot of the Matrix. Am I right? Am I remembering this correct?
That they can, the machines control the Matrix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to see the machines cause like natural disasters and all kinds of shit.
Oh, to burn the Matrix down.
Yeah.
The way you, it sounded like you'd be like, we're going to burn Zion down. It's like, to be fair, Wes, that's exactly what the plot is. You are describing this quote-unquote non-existent Matrix sequel.
I have never seen proof that this movie exists. So anyway, so I want to see them cause so many natural disasters in the Matrix, cause so many people to go crazy and start chopping each other up. I want to see like zombie outbreaks. I want to see them test Neo's powers. He is the one, but he can't be everywhere at once. Or can he? Spoiler. He can't. So he has to figure out what to do. Does he save the Matrix or does he free everybody all at once and have them join them in the real world? That's the choice.
That's great, except that it doesn't work for our top five at all because you have to stick this at the end of Revelations.
I don't know what that movie is, Steve.
Well, let me tell you a little history story here, Wes.
Oh, God.
Because welcome to the real world.
I don't like it.
You've chosen the, was it the red pill? Is that the truth pill?
We'll never know.
Ah, well, if only there was a sequel to tell us. Yeah, you gotta stick it at the end of Revelations, man. I'm sorry, them's the rules.
Well, what happened at the end of Revelations?
You know, everyone is happy and dandy and all is good.
So the Matrix is still there, right?
Yeah, Neo...
He beats Agent Smith.
Yes, he does. He jumps into him and blows him up.
Well, that's the end of the Matrix.
Right. I think it's the end of all the Matrixes.
The Matrixes.
That's how they end all of them. No, he defeats Agent Smith in the rain fight. That's the end of...
all CGI.
Yes. I'm not arguing the validity, the existence of the rain in that fight.
I'm talking about the entire fight itself is, if I remember correctly, entirely CGI.
A couple of those fights are. I don't think that final one is.
Okay.
The one where they're like in a park. And Neo like takes, he's got like a pole that he like, he starts like just kicking horizontally in a giant circle. That one's
yeah, that
all
was bad.
CGI.
That was bad.
And that was Reloaded, I think.
Again, I don't know what these movies are.
Yeah.
But in this universe that
They reset the Matrix is basically what they do, I think.
Okay.
Cause like, I remember they fly the thing up and they see through the clouds and they see the sun for like the first time. They come back down. Neo has crashed and the, or is that Trinity that's got, like, the rebar sticking through her?
I don't know. I think it's Trinity.
Trinity does, yeah. I know he beats Agent Smith, and I think Neo just, like, disappears. Like,
so, there you go. Then after Matrix Revelations?
Yes.
Revolutions?
Revelations.
Revelations. We're going to have the Matrix repopulated, and it's going to be the same exact sequel that I just said.
Okay. Yeah. What's your... And for the record... The prequel is kind of the Animatrix.
That, okay. I never played that, and I didn't think of that when
no,
I was making
it. No, it's not a game. I mean, that was Enter the Matrix.
So many Matrix things.
Animatrix is awesome.
Yeah.
Animatrix is a collection of, like, short stories, short videos, episodes, and they're anime of various different things before The Matrix goes into effect, and like it's about like the rise of AI and like using robot workers, and then the robot workers become aware, and then like they feel like they're being persecuted by humans, and then that's how they turn, that's how they create the Matrix, and like it's really good.
I didn't know about this movie. I just knew about Enter the Matrix.
Wow.
The video game.
So I'd say this is a pretty thorough job for you on your number
You're
three here.
You're welcome. So my prequel, it would be, it'd be right in between, I guess, the Animatrix and the Matrix. It would be, I want to see Morpheus get brought out of his sleep, and then him bring Trinity and Tank and Dozer and, I guess, Cypher and all those other people
probably
I can't
other
name.
Probably the other ones, too, that probably didn't make it to the Matrix.
Exactly.
The Matrix, the movie, that is.
But I want to see him bring this ragtag group of rascals together and see their first big mission together a la Rogue One.
Say, much better a la Rogue One than a la Suicide Squad.
Or, yeah.
Boo!
I was like, ooh, yeah, that's probably the pinnacle of bad.
Well, way to not put it at the beginning, and way to put it at the end of movies that you don't want to exist, but do exist.
To be fair, I think my sequel could happen after The Matrix Revelations.
Okay, yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. That is possible, yes.
Yes.
All right, so my top three. These are movies that I actually really would love to see. And my number three, this is actually the very first thing I thought of. But it is, I want the sequel and prequel to, however you want to say it, whether it is Leon or The Professional, or Leon the Professional. Because
mm-hmm.
that movie is super kick-ass.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen The Professional, go watch that movie. It is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know what it is, long story short, professional hitman, he has to take in a very, very young Natalie Portman, like a 12-year-old Natalie Portman, and then eventually starts teaching her the ways to be a hitman. And then there's this huge siege on their apartment, and Leon cleans fucking house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Natalie Portman's character is named Matilda. And so obviously the third one, she is now a trained assassin. You could do this current day with current Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm.
It would be awesome. Because
okay.
Natalie Portman is also so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can... I think the appropriate sequel is Natalie Portman after Matilda, after honing her craft even more. She is now, like, the world's most lethal assassin. And now she goes back. Similar to Arya in Game of Thrones, she has her list of the people who has wronged, like, that has wronged Leon, the people that came in and got him, and she hunts them down and takes care of business. I think that's the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The prequel, and again, it's like, I know prequels are just kind of like the rise of this character, but Leon is this, you know, Eastern European, doesn't speak great English, comes from I don't know, whatever country. He's not Russian. He's Eastern European bloc over there. And I would love to see basically him as a little boy into, you know, becoming the killer that he is now.
Leon, the amateur.
Yes. maybe that is the title.
There it is.
Yeah. So his rise to, and like why he got into this, because Matilda was born into, or she got into this because her father got in trouble and someone came in and killed her whole family and just accidentally left her alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then now she's born into this world of violence and now she lives there. And what was the thing that got Leon into that world as well? Like, was it the same thing so that when he sees it happen to Matilda and he's like, oh, no, don't do this. Don't come down this path. Please don't come down this path. I've done this path. But yet he loves her so much, that's the only way he knows how to show affection to her. Like, I don't know what that first movie is, but it is going to be how Leon went from the amateur to the professional. And then how Matilda closes that book. And maybe there is might be too many. Like, all of a sudden, here's a kid that wants to become an assassin. But her, like, stopping that cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, no. We're like, she packs up the guns or whatever. She throws them in the river or whatever. And now she has her and, like, her little girl. And they're safe and they don't do that anymore.
I think Leon may have gotten fired as a CPA.
Ugh. Fucking Gary in the next cube.
Jesus Christ. Been trying to undercut Leon for months.
Gary! Yeah, that's, I would, if they announce that today, be like, yes, yes.
All right, good pick. Now, my number two, almost like yours. Eh, not really. Anyway, so my number two is...
Riveting!
Yeah, did you like that? My number two is Dread.
My number two is Dread.
Yes?
Yes!
So why don't we shoot back and forth a little bit? So my sequel, what I want, almost like how... So in Arkham Asylum, it's just the one building, one island, and then we move into Arkham City. I want that same kind of progression where with Dread, it's a one building has to get out. But with this now, like, all the crime bosses are coming together because they heard what happened to Lena Headey's character.
Right.
And now we have to...
Mama? I think it's Mama.
I have no idea.
Pretty sure it's Mama. Yeah.
So they have to come together to try and take Dread out, and he has to get out of the city alive.
Yeah. That sounds good to me. I was just thinking redo the Sly Stallone one, but just with...
More Rob Schneider?
With more Rob Schneider is really all I was thinking.
Okay, there it
but
is.
I like what you said, too.
Yeah, yeah, was that good, Steve?
No, I mean, I agree. I think... I know this is the plot line of Judge Dredd, the shitty Sylvester Stallone one, where, like, his power gets taken away from being a judge, and then he has to, like, come back. But that is not a shitty premise. Mm-hmm. Their execution of it was terrible. But I could imagine there being a, you know, maybe that's the prequel then.
That was going to be my prequel.
Yeah, maybe that's the prequel, is that he's on the force, he's, you know, the kick-ass Judge Dredd, and, like, maybe he's a bit too aggressive. He's, like, his judgments, you know, whatever. So then, again, I haven't read the graphic novel, so I don't know all the lore of Judge Dredd. But instead of just a straight-up, like, he's a new judge in the academy coming up and, you know, like, and whatever. Instead of that being his origin story, maybe his origin story is that he is already a judge and he's like, but he's gone off the rails a bit too much and he loses that power.
See, I was thinking more in the judge force or whatever. He gets nixed because of the corruption in that. So, because he is unwavering in his sense of justice, that he has to go back in and then take out the corruption by force.
Sure. Sure.
Or, you know, more Rob Schneider, whichever.
Rob and Schneider!
Maybe a mechanical dog!
But it's gotta be CGI.
It's gotta be CGI!
God, it's gotta be CGI.
Voiced by Hugo Weaving.
That is... I just want another Dread movie, because the first Dread movie is so good.
So good?
So good, man. So, yeah, I'm totally down for, like, a bigger, badder, sequel to that. I really like your metaphor of, or analogy, I suppose. Analogy of Arkham Asylum, island, contained, small, Arkham City, much more expansive, blown out. Yeah, the whole city is under duress.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere he turns, there's a new, like, a different crime boss on every corner gunning for him. Yeah.
See, I almost wanted it to go like video game style movie where there's bosses and mini bosses.
Sure.
And there's a crazy action sequence and then another mini boss and then quickly followed by a big boss. And I just think that would be so cool to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about it.
I want it.
Yep. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
It's either that or the prequel to Kindergarten Cop. One of the two.
One of the two.
Your choice.
Hoo boy.
Okay. So I'm going to throw in a quick honorable mention before I do my one. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but. This, I do want to see this more than the Kindergarten Cop one, but I'm really intrigued by the Kindergarten Cop one. and this, God, if we could roll the old clock back and do this idea instead of what actually happened, my God, we would all be better off for it.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, the Dark Knight trilogy is a great set of films. I don't really like Dark Knight Rises, but 1 and 2, fantastic. I'm not going to mess with that. So I'm not taking the Batman series as a whole. I'm taking the individual, like, segments of it. Like, Dark Knight trilogy, that is not in the same canon as the George Clooney Batman.
Okay.
You know? Like, nor is it the Michael Keaton Batman.
Nor is it the current Batman.
Nor is it the current Batman. So, what I would love to have seen back in the day is if we could bookend the Michael Keaton Batmans. First Batman was awesome. The Tim Burton Batman, as was Batman Returns, both really solid movies.
I may have to fight you on Batman Returns, but that's fine.
You know what? And to be honest, I've seen Batman several times since I watched it, but I just remember when I was young watching Batman Returns being like, God, Michelle Pfeiffer is so incredibly hot.
I believe, if I remember right, the Penguin rides a rubber duck through the canals of the city.
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Okay.
But I really liked the art styling of those films, the designs of those films. There was something, I don't know, like cartoonish, but still like dark and gothic about them.
Mm-hmm.
But and still some kind of grit to it. I liked those a lot. So I would like to see a Michael Keaton kind of origin Batman story in that Gotham City, that kind of like glamorous 1920s Gotham City. I think that'd be it's going to be obviously fairly similar to a Batman Begins style kind of thing. But if that had actually come out in 1990 or whatever, that would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, after Batman Returns, you can slap in whatever Batman villain you really want to throw in there. Like, I think Bane would be a cool feature villain in that style of Tim Burton-esque would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know the Jim Carrey Riddler came shortly after that, but a Tim Burton Riddler,
mm-hmm.
I think that would mix well. Like the ridiculousness of a Tim Burton. Like, I don't know, I like that era Batman before they really fucked it up for like 10 years.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Then got it back on rails, so.
Sure.
But yeah, I would actually like to see that back in the day as well.
Alright, so what's your number one?
Numero uno. John fucking Wick.
Okay. Now there's a second one, right?
There is a second one.
Okay. So you're looking for a John Wick 3.
3 and 0.
John Wick, the formative years.
It's going to be just like the Wonder Years. He's going to have a crush on the neighborhood girl, and it's all going to be this narrator over the top. I think it's going to be a really nice departure. Really let you in on the softer side of John Wick, but that narrator, once he starts shooting people in the head, like, and that was the first time John shot someone in the face.
Oh, my God. Credits.
One of my favorite monologues in the last 10 years of film is in John Wick 1, when the Russian bad guy mob boss talks about who John Wick is, the boogeyman speech. He's like, John Wick isn't the fucking boogeyman. He's the guy you call when you want to kill the boogeyman. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That, I want that to be like the movie trailer. Like, it's black and they just, you hear that and like see the words on the screen. Like, I want the story of what John Wick did to get out of the game. You know, mm-hmm. Like, they clearly lay it out for you in John Wick 1. Like, I gave him an impossible task to leave this game, and he did it. Like, okay, what was it? Like, show me what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just spelled out as, and then obviously it's him falling in love with his wife, and doing the impossible thing. It's, you know, it's nothing bold and fresh necessarily about it, but damn it, I'm in it.
Sure, yeah.
And then John Wick 4, John Wick 3. At the end of John Wick 2, let's just say John Wick is on the run.
Okay.
And I think that is laid out pretty clear as well for what John Wick 3 is probably going to be already. And that is, and actually I think it might be kind of similar to what you're talking about with Dredd. I think we're going to go into a bigger arena, mm-hmm. I think is what's going to happen in a John Wick 3. They're going to kind of take it off the rails and blow it out. So I think that's what's going to happen, and that's what I want to see.
Okay.
And I don't know what the end game is where John Wick currently is at, of like how he stops being on the run. And I don't know, I think he might just permanently be on the run.
Is every single movie that you pitched on your list just a crazy ass action movie, including the Kindergarten Cop ones?
I mean, I was like, yeah, this is a lot of action movies. I was like, what about a sports, or what about like a comedy in here or whatever? I was like, could I do two more Ace Venturas? Sure,
nope.
Couldn't. Sure couldn't. I was like, what about Beverly Hills Cop? Nope. I'm done.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. I tried to do that, but like, I just feel like action movies are, I mean, I think they're easier to do in that regard. And the other stuff like that, I don't want to mess with the canon of like Indiana Jones. I thought about that. Which still is an action movie, but yeah, I think that those movies just lend themselves to this kind of thing easily. Sure. So yeah.
Okay. Well, my number one is way better than your number one.
No, it's not.
Because my number one is The Incredibles.
Yeah, thought about that. That was on my list, too.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if the sequel, if I want it to be a direct continuation at the end of the first Incredibles, and they have to fight the Mole Man now, in whatever that means, or if it's set years in the future when the mom and dad are getting pretty old.
That's what I was thinking.
Not able to super anymore, and the kids have to step up and become their own superhero squad to keep them safe.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking that the kids now are in their 30s, you know, sort of deal. That sort of deal. Now they have a kid of their own, or something like that. And the parents, like you said, they're older, can't do it like they use. Elastigirl is not quite as elasty.
Although that is interesting with her superpowers. Do you think she just like keeps her skin like tight so she never gets old and wrinkly?
Like, maybe that's how she does it during the day, and she gets home. She's like, hey, honey.
My God, Tommy Lee Jones!
Do you know what the plot is for Incredibles 2? That I know they're making it. Have you heard anything?
I heard that it's going to be a direct continuation from the first movie. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. I'm going to see it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's actually the reason I left it off the list. It's because I love Incredibles so much as a standalone film that I don't know if making 3 escalates it into the world of trilogy and now it's even better.
Yeah.
Or if it cheapens it in some way because there are so few standalone good things. But I mean, it doesn't matter because it's coming anyway.
Sure.
So I have mixed emotions about that, and I really don't like that they're making a Toy Story 4, which we talked about.
No, I forgot all about that. And now that you bring it back up, now I'm going to start vomiting everywhere.
So that's, they kind of go, and Toy Story 4 is far more egregious than Incredibles 2. But I'm like, I just want you to be this like star out by yourself, this island of awesome.
Sure.
But so what would your prequel on it, though, be?
My prequel would be a romantic comedy / buddy cop movie with the parents in the first Incredibles. With them first meeting, and the dad is all, they're trying to solve the same case or try the same supervillain or whatever, and the dad's all brute force because he's, you know, basically the Hulk.
Right.
And the mom is more strategic and sleuthy and more, comes at it from the more heady space.
Sure.
And that's where they clash and they differ until they eventually, you know, start coming together and, you know, then it starts getting romantical up in this biatch.
And obviously, with some sage advice by one Frozone in there as well.
Yeah,
that's and there's got to be a real romantic Frozone and his wife thing that ends in, damn it, woman!
Where is my super suit?
Where is my super suit?
All right, what is your top 5 in review?
Top 5 in review is number 5. We're gonna go back to the real good films of Rambo. Number 4, the trilogy of Kindergarten Cop. Number 3, The Professional. Number 2, Dredd. And number 1, John Wick.
My number 5 is The Frighteners. My number 4 is The Wolf Among Us. My number 3 is The Matrix. My number 2 is Dredd.
That wonderful standalone film.
That's right.
The Matrix.
That single shining star that it was never fucked with. The Matrix. My number 2 is Dredd. My number 1 is The Incredibles.
Yeah, I mean, I will absolutely see Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
But the bar is so high.
So high, dude.
God, I just want it to be good.
Yeah, me too.
Really want it to be good.
Hey, they've taken what? It's been almost 10 years, right?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. I mean, they're certainly taking their sweet-ass time, which I appreciate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's hope that they spent that time thinking up ideas, and it's not just finding. Although I heard that Finding Dory was actually pretty good, but
it's okay.
Yeah,
but I also didn't love Finding Nemo. It's good, but I didn't love it.
anyway, so I just hope they have a good idea. Yeah. And that's why it took them so long.
Yeah. So again, sorry about our 2 month hiatus.
And a few days.
And, yeah. Two into some change.
Yeah.
But like we said, we're going to be back every other week. Set clock to it. More special guests, some old friends.
Mm-hmm. Some new friends.
Some new friends, some bold predictions.
Some strangers.
Some, yes. This dude that's just right outside. Creeping on us. He's been here the whole time, just breathing heavily. But we'll have him on next week, 2 weeks.
You can leave a comment here. We want to hear what you guys think, so you can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveandoutshow@gmail.com. Steve, how do you spell that?
That's fiveandout. SHOW at gmail.com.
gmail.
That's right.
COM.
Yes.
This is a new email from our last run.
Yeah, so take the old one out of the old address book. That's not good anymore. But we would very much like to hear from you guys. We're excited to be back. Hopefully you are as well. We'd like to know what top fives you'd like to hear coming down the pipe. Your reaction to the bookends. What things would you like to bookend with a prequel and a sequel? We want to hear from you. So please.
So tell us, goddammit.
And again, it's fiveandoutshow@gmail.com, all spelled out.
fiveandoutshow@gmail.com.
Hey!
But as always, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was Five.
And we're out!
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.